And we're back
with part two of episode 36, the Disconnected Gamers Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, still known occasionally as J Bond. With me,
as always,
it's your boy,
Mike.
So, if you're still listening, thank you.
Yes. Please continue to listen.
Don't go anywhere. Part two, PAX Prime, was last weekend. Had a lot of fun. Played a lot of games. High-fived a few people. I didn't high-five that many people. It's kind of a bummer. I want to high-five more people. See, here's the thing, right? And we'll just, before we get into the games part of it. When I go to conventions, right, I always feel so goddamn awkward. I never want to just fucking be like, hey, Mega Man, high-five me, right? Like when a Mega Man walks by.
Oh, yeah, you
know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to, because I want to be like, hey, I'm acknowledging you in your awesome cosplay. Like, you know, here's a high five. It's free.
Right.
You know?
Free shrooms.
But I generally don't. One, also this year at PAX, they specifically said no cosplay photos in the expo hall. They had, like, a designated area for that.
Right,
so
yeah.
Even if you were going to try and do that, like, it's so fucking hard. Because it's like, hey, I like your cosplay. Come walk with me to this place that I don't know where it is so I can take a picture with you.
Yeah.
There were a couple people who did it anyways, and like I don't think it was that big a deal.
It's just a quick thing, but it's basically to stop traffic.
Exactly. That's totally what it is. Which is fine. But I always, I don't know. See, so here's my thing, right? I think I just hate my face, you know, and so I don't like being in pictures with people because I have to be in the picture to be in the picture. And it's just like, I don't take that many pictures when I'm at conventions and stuff. I really don't, you know, and this year specifically, I took like nothing with me. The only thing I had with me was my cell phone. Like I didn't bring my big camera cause I knew that last year I didn't use it that much anyways. I didn't use it at Prime very much. I didn't use it at East very much. There was just no reason to bother. You know,
gotcha.
So I was like, screw this. I didn't bring my Vita. I literally brought my tablet.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my laptop and I brought my iPhone and I brought some headphones. I brought the portable podcast kit, but I think I might have broke the adapter because it kind of came apart in my bag on like day one. So I kind of put the stuff in, you know, clamp the plastic thing back together the way like it's supposed to go, but I haven't actually tested it since, so I may have to buy a new one of those. Whatever, it was like $40, and like I've really never actually like used it the way I want to, so it's not the end of the world. I had it with me hoping that maybe I'd be able to do audio interviews, but even that, it's one of those things where like generally speaking when I go to the events I'm so informal. Mm-hmm. Like I don't like, I'm happier to have a way low-key conversation with people about their games than to, like, you know, do the, like, tell me about the mechanics of your game. Like, was it weird changing from WASD to the arrow keys or something stupid like that? Mm-hmm. I'd much rather just be like, hey, tell me about your game. Like, if I said you've got 45 seconds and you need to sell me on your game.
Right.
Well, you know?
Do it. Yeah.
Like, I like that. I think it's way easier low-key. And I also think that when you have like an audio recording of it, they're less likely to open up about certain things about the game that maybe they can't. So
right,
that
yeah.
part's really cool. Cause like there are tons of conversations I've had with people that I could never repeat.
Gotcha. Yep.
So that part, but it's one of those things where like, I always, I prefer the low key informal things because one, I still get enough information to come back to the podcast or come back to my computer and write about it. You know, I take notes.
Yeah.
I have a very visual memory. So like I can remember the demos very well. Even one of the people I was talking to, they were like, you don't have a notepad or anything. And I was like, no, I'm like, I actually have a really, really, really good knack for like remembering things verbatim. No, I'm not like Rain Man or anything. And I'm not saying like, and I'm not saying if you showed me a fucking credit card, I'm going to be able to recite the like 16 digits off of it, you know, in 2 seconds. But if you asked me about it a year from now, I would be able to tell you what type of credit card number it was and like what was on the credit card. you know, and where we were exactly, and like maybe the last four digits of the card number, you know?
Right.
Because like those would be things I would pick up on, right? I'd be able to be like, yeah, it was a red Visa, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
You know, and you didn't sign the back of it, right?
Right.
Like, and
Yeah.
you know, and we were outside the, you know, Nintendo booth, because we were talking about Super Mario Maker. Like, I could do that, you know, but I can't tell you that you like your card number was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever, whatever. So, I don't generally need a notepad. And obviously I'm like my phone, I have Google Docs like read on it. So I like on certain times when I'm like when like a demo goes like more than like 30 minutes, I might bust out the notepad and just like write a like quick few
Oh, that
sentences
works.
about what it was, and like that's enough for me, you know?
Easy enough.
So it's yeah, so for me it's kind of weird. I always feel awkward. I always feel like I always feel like I don't fit in, and I always feel like I shouldn't be there necessarily, but like I don't know, I like hanging out with people. I like,
Yeah,
you
no,
know,
it's a damn time.
yeah, so and it's funny how like, you know, we do this podcast, I occasionally do reviews, we do live streaming a bit, but like I find myself so much more of the time like telling everyone else about other people's games. So I was hanging out with the guys at TikTok who did Adventures of Pip, and like we were talking to somebody about the game, and they were like asking me like development questions. I was like, no. I was like, I didn't actually work on the game. And the kid was like, wait, what? And I was like, no. I'm actually media. I'm like, I love these guys. I love this game. I was like, so I pretty much just hang out. Like if I had like 15 minutes to kill, I went to the TikTok booth and just hung out.
Nice.
And like just told people about the game. Like it got to the point where like people would be standing there and be like, do you have any questions about the game? Because at this point I can answer like a lot of them.
Nice. Like Deborah Tanger.
So that was a lot of fun hanging out with them, and plus that game's awesome. So and it was cool watch like it's really cool watching other people play the game and trying to figure out the mechanics of changing from like 8 to 16, 16 to 8 to 1-bit pip, and traversing the different obstacles. Because like some
Right.
kind, sometimes I felt really bad and I wanted to be like, listen. You've got to go to 1-bit because you can't stand on this platform as any other version of pip. And you can't make this jump because all the other pips are not as able to jump as high. So you need to just go to 1-bit pip and stop fucking around. Like,
Yeah.
it's painful watching you fail. So that was that. So anyways, we'll get back into the games. So I played a bunch more games that particular day, and I have to go to you mother. This is what I hate about Steam. You type one thing, it brings up 52 other
Brings
things
up,
that you didn't
yeah.
want. So this game is called Guild of Dungeoneering, and it's card it's turn-based card game. So
Like a turn-based card. Yeah, okay. So like,
remember Hand of Fate?
yeah.
Okay, and
Yeah.
so how like when you do Hand of Fate, like you'd get into a battle and it would turn into a 3D action. Okay, so in this case it does not. You travel around card-based, same kind of way, top down of you know, Hand of Fate was, and you've got your cards, and so you have to. So in this game, though, you have to build out the dungeon. Whereas in Hand of Fate, the cards are just kind of laid there, and you chose which card you wanted. In Guild of Dungeoneering, you are looking for the monsters and loot and things like that, but you have to build the path that you take with cards that you get each turn. And so each turn you get, some of the enemies can actually come. They start searching for you. Or they start searching for like, you know, for loot and things like that. So it's really cool. At one point you run out of turns and the main boss in each dungeon will just start coming for you. So you
Oh,
gotta watch
wow.
your shit.
Dang.
But it was really cool, and it's you know, there's a lot of level base, there's a lot of strategies, a lot of different cards. You can build your deck, you can kind of amass these sweet cards. And it's one of those, it's like Hand of Fate where it's like kind of infinitely replayable. Because each dungeon is a little bit different, and each set of cards is a little bit different, and
Nice.
each enemy is a little bit different. It has a little bit different stat perks and stat rolls.
Like that. It's not the same thing every single time.
Right, and it's one of those games where you could play for 10 minutes, or you could play for like 2 hours, and
Oh, wow.
it's equally as satisfying, right? Because you can in like 10 or 15 minutes probably do like a couple runs, and still be like, oh, well, you know, I beat him. I beat a couple guys this time, but like I died. But like, hey, maybe I added like 10 cards to my deck.
Yeah.
Or you could play for like 2 hours and it's probably equally as satisfying because you're playing these, you're just playing short games multiple times, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. Big fan. Had a lot of fun playing that one.
I'm personally not a card game guy, but I'd check
that's
it
the
out.
Thing, right? That's the thing. Like, I wasn't big into card games until I played like Hand of Fate, where it's not just like straight up card game, right? Like, have you ever played Hearthstone?
Yeah, it's like a.
Did you ever play Hearthstone?
A little bit. I played on a mobile.
Yeah, I'm a big I really do like Hearthstone. I'm not very good at it. In fact, I'm not really good at it at all. But. Like, I like Hearthstone, and I think Hearthstone is, like, your base level for, like, a card game, right? Because it's just, like, you put the cards down, and then there's, like, a mini animation. Whereas, like, Guild of Dungeoneering takes a little bit further, and there's a little bit more interaction between, like, your cards. Now, I'm not saying it's better or worse than Hearthstone.
Right.
I'm just saying that in terms of the visual elements that they're using to kind of enhance the gameplay are different. So, and then you've got like Hand of Fate, which you're playing as a card game, but then the cards, you know, what the cards you pick end up becoming a third person battle, you know, mini battle event. So yeah, Guild of Dungeoneering, really cool. That's Versus Evil is working on that. They're publishing it. It's developed by Gambrinus, I think is how you pronounce it. Pretty sweet. It's out now.
Yes.
Or, well, so the main game is out now. Guild of Dungeoneering is, there's an, so Guild of Dungeoneering is out. There's an, I played an expansion to it, and the expansion is not out.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
Anyways, so yeah, that totally blanked on me. Anyways, so yeah, I played the expansion of the game. The expansion is not out yet. But the game itself is out. You can buy the game now. It's like $15. It's pretty sweet. But, so that was that. And then, did you ever play XCOM?
Yeah.
Did you like XCOM?
Wasn't too bad.
All right, so there's a game called Hard West.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out. And this is, so this is Gambitious. So there's too many games. So it's, the developer is Creative Forge, but the publisher on this one is Gambitious.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hard West is basically, it's revenge. It's XCOM revenge, right? So this guy gets wronged, and now he's going to hunt everybody down.
Oh.
That wronged him. He's coming for you. He's coming for that ass, right? So, but everything is based on consequence and your strategic decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a Western XCOM with a lot of consequential decision making, and it was cool. I never played XCOM. I think I probably have it from PS Plus way back in the day. But so we got to check this out, and this was, did I tell you about the Bullet press kit that I got?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Hard West is the game that had the Bullet press kit.
Oh.
Which was like the coolest thing ever. So it's a little bullet, and you unscrew the top, and that's where the USB like stick is.
That is cool.
And it was funny how like I was tweeting like coolest press kit award ever goes to Hard West, and like then I started seeing other people tweeting about it too. And then there was one person who the picture was like them, and it was like, I have no idea how I'm gonna get through airport security with this. So I just unscrewed it and left it in my checked baggage.
Right, that they hope that way they were like, oh, okay, cool.
It's, yeah, it's a thumb drive. It's not a, yeah, because when they scan it and they see like this big bullet, that would not go over well. But
not at all.
Yeah. So the Steam little blurb is, when a tragic turn of events sets one man down a path of supernatural chaos and revenge, he must brutally hunt down all those who wronged him. Fight and survive through 8 unique story-based scenarios and try your hand at more than 40 individually designed turn-based combat missions.
Mm.
So it's pretty sweet. I had a lot of fun playing it. You know, and it really was cool because, like, there's different events you could go to, but, like, in the, I suppose, what you'd call, like, maybe the outer world scenario, you could go to other things first before you just necessarily rush into certain situations. And whether or not you do those can help or hurt you. So, because you could go to, like, you know, a neighboring town and be like, hey, did you happen to see so-and-so go by? And they could be like, yeah, but it'll cost you. And then you could be like, nah, fuck you, I ain't paying. And then they alert that guy so that when you go to that next event, they already know you're there and you don't have an element of surprise. Whereas in some cases, you can go and do stuff and then maybe have an element of surprise, maybe have backup, or maybe, you know, they're already a little bit weak because maybe you've got them on the run or something. And then, like, the actual turn-based kind of strategy combat stuff is pretty cool, too. You can, like, shoot through windows. You can ricochet bullets.
Oh,
that's really cool. It's pretty cool. It's pretty in-depth. Yeah. Metal Gear. So, Hard West, definitely on the list. If you're an XCOM fan, definitely check it out.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. Next game up was Homefront: The Revolution. Now, I know what you're thinking.
Surprised it has a sequel.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that, right? Because the Homefront game... well, because originally it was THQ, right? But then Deep Silver has it. And so it's a little bit straying away from what Homefront was in the sense that it is now an open-world first-person shooter, right? So, and I, the post, my like preview post actually went up today. Or, well, it went up today, September 6th, Sunday, because we're recording it. Hopefully, I'll get this up by tomorrow. I'm trying to edit these all so they all go up at the same time. But, so it's open-world first-person shooter. It is in an occupied Philadelphia. The Koreans are still kicking our ass, but there's resistance, you know? I'm a resistance fighter. But what's cool is, so it's open-world. So think like Destiny, but not an instance, I guess. So like you can just kind of roam around the, like, you know, destroyed parts of Philadelphia and like take out Korean patrol trucks and just wreck them. And you can also like end up bumping into Korean patrols that are destroying other resistance fighters and you can opt to help them. Circle like a public event, you know, in Destiny. But the difference is it's just you. Like, there's no, it's not like you're going to bump into other people playing Homefront that are going to help you.
Oh,
it's
gotcha.
Your, like, it's your instance of the game.
Okay.
At least maybe as far as I played, it was. Who knows? Maybe that's a thing that's...
change it.
But it just doesn't seem like it would fit. And as far as, you know, you have missions and you can go do your missions, story missions, but you can also have this open room element to, like, get supplies, get materials. But as far as weapon customization goes, so literally you just tap the D-pad and it like you hold the rifle sideways and then you can literally just take the, you know, if you want to change your scope out and be like, I need long range, you just switch it to the long range scope. Like as long as you have the scope, obviously you might have to find it, build it, whatever. You literally just tap the D-pad and switch it and change it. If you want to put on a foregrip, you change it. If you want to do like a grenade launcher, you just change it.
Nice. Sold.
And then, and yeah, which is for me is... it's totally awesome because, like, I hate having to have, like, 10 different weapons, right? Or being like, well, I don't have the weapon for long range, so let me hit pause.
Yeah.
Let me go in, you know, like in Destiny where you have to, like, switch between weapons where it's like, no, I have one weapon that I love and I can customize it based on my needs at that time. Pretty much instantaneously on the fly. So that part was really cool. Weapons, I had, like, an AR-15 or, like, an M4, had a pistol, it was like a 1911, and then had a shotgun. Ammo, a little bit scarce. I didn't have a whole lot of ammo when I was playing, which kind of sucked because I was just totally just... I just went around looking for patrols. Like, I didn't actually Yeah, I just was, like, you know, taking it, sticking it to the Koreans, basically.
The man-wrecking crew.
And, I mean, and what's cool, though, is like, it's... I don't think it's, like, a... It's not, like, a... I don't know if it's like a reputation system or something, but like the more you kind of stick it to the oppressed, you know, the oppressive Koreans or whatever, the more the like AI around you will kind of like rally on that. So there's some push and play elements of like, you know, if you are aggressive, they'll, I guess maybe they'll be aggressive with you, but like there are times where straight up, you just have to fucking bail. Like, and it's not even a matter of like, the game is telling you you have to bail, like, you can get into an engagement, and then all of a sudden, like, they call for reinforcements, and they're there in 2 seconds. And, oh, like, geez. You gotta just leave. And so, right. because it's open world, like, they can chase you. So, like, you actually really have to leave. Like, you can't just, like, walk away from it, and, like, the engagement goes away. Like, they kind of stay in that area. No, they will come for you. And they'll bring, like, more troops. They'll bring in an airship, which, not good, because I didn't have anything to take out an airship.
Oof.
So it was really, like, it was cool. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll have to find a way to play the first one then. Unless it doesn't really matter.
I don't think it does, honestly. Okay. I don't think story-wise it matters. The Koreans attacked the United States in North Korea.
It's like a what-if situation.
So so Homefront, the original Homefront, as far as I recall, was... something happened, and so North Korea and South Korea reunite, and it just becomes Korea again, and then they just fucking attack everybody.
Oh, jeez.
And so they invade the United States, and the United States is totally messed up, and the end of the original Homefront, spoiler alert, it's been out for a few years, everybody, so, like, whatever. You're on the Golden Gate Bridge, and you're fighting the Koreans. And you, like, and it was, like, huge to get back that part of, like, the country, I guess. And so you fight them on the Golden Gate Bridge. And it's totally great. And then, like, the game just ends. Huh. Like, the game starts to get super good, and, like, the action starts to get super good, and the game just ends. And it had a really good multiplayer, which was a bummer when it didn't kind of take off. And then THQ, obviously. So... There's nothing said about multiplayer. I assume it will have it, but they had nothing to say. But as far as the single player campaign, seems like it's going to be pretty rad. Seems like it's going to have a lot to do. Seems like there's, you know, the open world aspect kind of expands the gameplay a lot there too.
Nice.
So that was cool.
Works.
Yeah. So that was Homefront. That's Deep Silver. So nice. Keep that on the radar if that's the kind of game you're into. I think it'll be a nice departure from Destiny. I mean, obviously, Taken King is coming out soon, but, like, I don't have Taken King, so it doesn't really matter. But
The Taken King.
Next up, Runbo. Good stuff. So this was fun too. I ended up I thought I was supposed to go to the Nintendo booth.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't realize is there were two Nintendo booths. So they had the Nintendo booth on the expo hall, where it was pretty much just entirely Super Mario Maker and then, like, a couple Splatoon and a Xenoblade thing. There was another separate area that they had where they just had Nintendo Indies called the Nindies booth.
Huh.
And so Runbo was there. They had a Shovel Knight station, they had a, like, Zeo Drifter station, they had a bunch of 3DS stations with all these different indie games, and so that's where they were. And so that was tons of fun, too, because you've got all these people coming in, so we were playing 9-player matches of Runbo.
Oh, nice.
Which is what makes it so much fun, because there's so many people, like, running from side to side and trying to figure stuff out, and, you know, and now, so the new expansion, they have 17... Either they added 17 characters, or there's now 17 new characters in total to play as. But you can play as Shovel Knight. You can play.
Nice.
You can play as the princess from Chariot.
Nice.
You can play as the guy from SteamWorld Dig, whose name I don't remember. You can play as Zeo Drifter. I think you can play as Samus from Metroid.
Metroid.
You can play as. A bunch of other... There's just a bunch of other characters that you can play as. And basically, it was kind of one of those things where the guys who did Runbo, like... This is the coolest part about the indie community, is that they all kind of knew each other. And so they were like, you know, we were, you know, talking to the guys at Yacht Club, because Yacht Club did Shovel Knight. And they were like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, the Runbo, like, the generic Runbo characters kind of look like Shovel Knight. And they were like, oh, that's such a funny idea. Like, you know... We should just put Shovel Knight in the game. Would that be cool? And they were like, yeah, hell yeah, do it. And so then they put Shovel Knight in the game. And then all these other indies were like, oh, that would be so. And so then they started reaching out to other indies to get the characters in the game.
Nice.
And so that's how, like, they ended up with all these different characters. And so, but it was just kind of neat because, like, it's 13 AM Games is the studio behind Runbow. And, like, they knew Yacht Club. Yacht Club knows TikTok. TikTok knows Pixelnauts. Pixelnauts knows Firehose and like all these different developers, like they all know each other, and it's just kind of cool because like you'll be talking about something and they were like, oh yeah, such and such over at whatever, and I'm like, oh, you know them too. And it's it's weird how much smaller the indie community is than like the AAA community, right?
Because
It's like even in Sony's own wheelhouse, right? I mentioned a person who worked at Sony to somebody who worked at Sony, and they were like, I have no idea who that is.
Oh wow.
And it's like, but you both work for Sony, right? Like yeah. how big is Sony?
How do you not know your colleagues?
Well, yeah. but they're not colleagues, but it's one of those things where I would think that you might know might know these people. Like, yeah, it's like it's not like, you know, necessarily somebody at like Sony Santa Monica is gonna know everyone at Bend, right? They're on complete opposite spectrums of this, you know, Western coast, right? But it's one of those things where like, you know, if a person at Sony Santa Monica might not know somebody at Santa Monica Studios, who might not know somebody at Naughty Dog, who might not know somebody at Sony headquarters in San Mateo, it's like when you all work for the same company and you're all so close, I would just think there's overlap. But it's weird. But in some instances there isn't. But it's weird how like so much of the indie community like all knows each other. So, I was talking to one girl about her game, Potions, which is like it's an RPG, it looks really cool, and she knows Jake from 17-bit like really well, and I was like, because she mentioned like Jake, and I was like, you mean from 17-bit? And she's like, yeah, Galaxy. And I was like, yeah, Galaxy. And it was
nice.
It's kind of neat. So anyways, Runbow, it's awesome. 9 players on one Wii U. It has multiplayer now. It had multiplayer. I didn't know that it didn't have multiplayer, but it has multiplayer. So now you don't have to have 9 friends. You just play with 9 strangers.
Nice.
So that was cool. The next game played was called Fortified. And Fortified is like 1950s sci-fi Team Fortress, kind of. It's wave-based, so you've got your rocket in the middle-ish, and you've got to defend it and survive against waves of space-invading aliens. But it's all kind of 1950s aesthetic, so you've got, like, a spaceman, but he's got, like, a super where he can freeze enemies that are close to him, and then, like, you know, the other people can just kill the enemies.
Right.
It's up to 4 players. It is not a couch co-op. I had originally put that in my... I've already got the posts up on the website. Turns out it's not co-op, couch co-op. I messed that up. It's online co-op, but it's Xbox and Windows 10. That one's really cool. I really liked it because so when you're reloading, you don't have to keep the weapon up. So the game kind of builds in this mechanic of like, you know, for instance, my starting character, I had the spaceman with a shotgun and a freeze ray. And so it was literally like, it was just like freeze, 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 freeze all the enemies. And then I was like, it was like reloading. And then you switch to the shotgun and start shooting all the enemies that you've frozen with the shotgun. And when the shotgun runs out to reload, you switch to the freeze ray and you shoot, 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 shoot. And like you build this mechanic of literally just constantly switching between the two weapons, you know, whatever loadout you might have. So like at one point I had like a TNT launcher that launched freezable TNT. So it was just like freeze explosions. And so I would just shoot a whole bunch of TNT, freeze them, and then switch to like the shotgun and just shoot them all. And I had a shotgun that had flame damage. Cause like those are the kind of the two basically upgrades you can get for your gun. You can either like, you can get stuff that freezes stuff or stuff that burns stuff. So you can like freeze enemies and then burn them to do extra damage. You can build like turrets and cannons and AI sniper guys that you can like set up kind of far back to pick off enemies from a distance.
Nice.
And yeah, and so it was like that might be one of the most exciting games to me, because it just looked like it was just a ton of fun. You know, I just had a ton of fun playing it. Simple concept, it's easy. I mean, it's not easy. The game gets harder as you play. Right. But, like, it was just, like, it's easy to get the hang of, you know? It was easy to grasp. It was easy to have fun.
Nice.
So, so it's an Xbox game. I've been looking for more games for Xbox. It's definitely on my list. So, that one's good. So, that was That was Fortified. It's a good one to keep your eyes on. So then the next game I played was I didn't actually play this. I watched a lot of people play it because I was talking with one of the devs. It's called Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time. And so it's a 1-2 couch co-op. And basically you have this big little ship, and I say big little ship. You have this little ship, and one of you can fly the ship, and the other one can kind of go around and fire the cannons that are on the ship. But you can only use the cannons on a certain side depending on which character you are. So there comes a point where, like, one of you can't just fly and one of you guns. One of you has to then switch because you can't use the guns on the other side, right?
Dang.
Yeah, and then there's, like, a super thing that you have to, like, time to make sure that you hit enemies. And it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's a little...
sounds cool.
Yeah, it's like the art is adorable. They had these little pennies, so I bought one because they're super cool. It's like it's the two main characters in the game.
Nice.
But yeah, you're in it, like everything's like neon colored, and it's 2D, but it's 3D because like there's, you know, 2D elements with like 3D kind of architecture around everything. But it's just like it's colorful, like We Are Doomed, you know. But it's more. I guess I would say that Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time is if you took Galaxy and We Are Doomed and kind of put them together. So, like, you've got the exploration aspects of Galaxy, but with the colorful and playness of We Are Doomed. You know? So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I was excited. It was cool. It looks like a lot of fun. And it has you can play with AI for, like, single players. So that was pretty cool. Big fan.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's it's won a bunch of awards for, like, it was they were part of the Behemoth booth. I think they were Indie Mega booth, PAX East. But yeah, really cool. Really cool game. And you save, like, little animals throughout each the mission that you're doing. So, like, you got to save, like, rabbits. And then if you save all the rabbits, I think then you can play as a rabbit. As, like, they become, like, the things you save at one point become playable characters. I don't think there's any... I think it's all just cosmetic, but it's kind of neat. Because you're all just little animals. So that was that. That was Lovers. Very cool. Next up was Armello, which was one of the PlayStation Plus voted games for this month, I think.
This month,
yeah. Because Grow Home won, but Armello and Zombie Vikings were the other
Zombie
two.
Zombie Vikings, yep.
Yeah, so Armello is cool. It's a little slow for me, personally, but it's unique. So it's a fairy tale board game, and you've got these different characters, and basically what it is there's a king in this place, and the king's gonna die.
Ooh.
And basically, it's just a matter of who kills him, right? And so it's turn-based, so each, you know, you've got, like, there's, like, a bear, a fox, a rabbit, and another guy, like, another animal that you can play as your character. And so you know that the king is going to die. But it's just a matter of, like, are you going to kill him or is somebody else going to kill him? Are you guys going to end up fighting each other and killing each other before, you know, you have to go fight the king? But there's also RPG elements to kind of boost up your character and things like that. And it all applies to the same other characters. But it felt a little slow to me. But it is one of those, it's kind of infinitely replayable because you can just kind of jump in and play till everyone dies or play till you kill the king and then play it again, and it's inevitably going to be a unique experience because the AI isn't just going to go the same way they went last time.
Right. That's good.
So, yeah, the graphically, it looked really cool because I played it on PC, but you can, like, zoom out of the world and, like, the way that the lighting and stuff and the shadows and everything, like, changed as you zoomed in. Like, it was like that part I thought was really cool. It was really well done.
Nice.
So graphically, looks really cool. Yeah, it's like a tabletop RPG, but it's totally, it's a unique experience. Like if you're not into tabletop RPGs, the other thing that's cool is you can play multiplayer, so you could play against your friends, like for the kings, you know,
right?
To become the king, basically. Kill the king and take over. So that part's cool. I think that would probably be more exciting than playing by yourself. But either way, it's that one's Mac and PC and Linux, Steam. Or I think it's on Linux too for Steam. But it is also on PS4, and it has cross-platform support for that too. So,
Ace.
Yeah. So wasn't free on PS Plus, but it's like $20. If you're into that kind of tabletop RPG kind of turn based, that might be worth checking out. Trying to think, the next thing I wrote on my list was technically embargoed, so I'm afraid to talk about it. Right?
Yeah,
I can say this much. It was a side-scrolling. Platform-based brawler, and it was totally awesome. I was looking forward to it.
So
yeah, so that part was cool. What else do I have? I went to the Maestros of Music panel, which was Grant Kirkhope was on it. If you don't know, he did Banjo-Kazooie. He did Viva Pinata. He did GoldenEye. So that was awesome. There was like a bunch of other people on it too, like somebody who did the guy who did the music for Dead Space and The Order 1886 and Until Dawn, and there were six in total, or five or six, and then there was a moderator, and so they like Grant Kirkhope was the reason I went, and I think a lot of people went for him too because he's a really cool guy, and I got to ask the last question at the panel, which was awesome, and the question was basically like, you know, back at, like, obviously now this is probably not an issue, but back in the day when you were like building stuff on the N64, because that recently released GoldenEye uncompressed. And so he was one, Grant Kirkhope, he talks like, he's like me, he talks really fast. And because he has an accent, it is sometimes hard to understand what he's saying. But basically what he said was, he's like, let me set the record straight. He's like, one, somebody found it. He's like, it's been on my website forever because I saved the original tracks, right?
Oh, wow.
He's like, I save all the original music that he probably makes, which my guess is most of them do too. And so he was like, it's not that it's compressed, but basically, because there was no sound card built into like the N64, everything has to be done on cartridge. He's like, so I made the songs. He's like, and then I put them into the, whatever N64 sound card thing, whatever on card device they must have used at Rare. And he's like, and I made them. Sound, he's like, I just recreated the songs from that. He's like, so obviously, he's like, I knew exactly what it was going to sound like when I made it. He's like, so it wasn't like it wasn't like I made what you heard on YouTube and then it got compressed into that. He's like, I made that and then had to make the other one again. He's like, I knew exactly what everything was going to sound like and what every note was going to sound like. He's like, he's like, I think people misunderstood that about the way sound was made for like N64 games and stuff. He's like, it really is. And he's like, we all kind of knew what it was going to be when it was made.
Right,
he's like, he's like, it was a limitation of the hardware. He's like, but it's not like we didn't know what we were getting when finished. So
it's true.
It was cool. And then there was like a meet and greet afterwards, but I had somewhere to go, so I didn't get to go, because I would have loved to get like a picture, get an autograph or something.
That'd been cool.
So that was a cool panel to go to. Brittany Brombacher, who was on the panel that I was on, she had a panel earlier in the day, and it was like girls in gaming, and they were talking about like their experiences and stuff. And that was a really cool panel too. That's like one thing I can't remember exactly what the panel was about. 'Cause I remember they said they didn't want it to be another, girl gaming, all girl panel thing. There was a different angle to it.
Right.
So Yeah, so that was cool. And then I'm trying to think. So what was what went on next? Oh, of course, Adventures of Pip at TikTok Games. I don't even need to tell you anything. Just fucking buy it. Just go.
Basically,
Just go. Just
so
go.
right now, right
Go to
now.
your computer machine, go to your iOS device, go to your PS4, go to your Wii U, and buy it.
Right
Adventures
now.
of Pip. If you like Super Mario and you like Zelda, what are you waiting for? I don't even need to say anything else.
Boom.
But I'm going to. No.
Sold.
Adventures of Pip is super fun. And it really is. To me, it's Super Mario meets Zelda. And it's, it's got your Mario platforming with Zelda RPG elements. It's a lot of fun. The story is great. The game is hard. It's not hard. It's hard, but it's not, It might take you a little bit to get a certain, a few platforming parts down, which was funny because even when we were playing the game, like when I was playing with them at the booth and we were chatting, I was like, God, there's this one part in the game that is absolutely ridiculous, and I can't figure it out. And he was like, was it the part in the swamp? And I'm like, is that the part with the bats and the platforms that have nothing underneath them? And he was like, yeah. I was like, I hate that part of the game. I was like, absolutely, yes, it is too hard. I was like, there's no checkpoints. I was like, it takes so long. I'm like, but I will say this. Completing it, I felt like a boss. Because it was
Right.
like, it's this huge section of like ridiculous platforming, and like your timing has to be right because there's enemies that are flying by, but there's also enemies that are just shoot on a timer. And it was really hard. And so I nailed it finally, and it
Nice.
was sweet. And it felt accomplished. I felt like I'd, made something successful with my life, beating that part of Adventures of Pip.
Nice.
And but yeah, I mean, it, so anyways, the game is awesome. It's available on pretty much everything at this point. It's on PC for Steam. I mean, I think it's on Mac too for Steam, but it's on Steam, it's on Wii U, it's on PS4, it's on Xbox One. It's not on 3DS and it's not on Vita, but you can remote play it on Vita.
Nice.
3DS is basically, they said it's something they want to do. It's just a matter of, sorry,
Funds or
I just stopped because I just heard like a car alarm go off, and that's kind of weird. In this neighborhood, anyways.
is it a matter of funds why they can't do a 3DS
I don't,
version? Or
I
this is
don't,
not,
I could,
it's not in the cards yet.
it might not be in the cards yet. I mean, and also given that they've got so many versions of the game, like if they have to do any sort of patching or balancing or fix anything, I would imagine they have like four other, it's times four for anything that's wrong, right?
Oh,
Because
right.
like it's like they got to, if there's something wrong on the Wii U version, it's probably wrong on the PS4 and the Xbox and Steam. So I imagine it's more of a just a from a technical standpoint, the team probably has to do a lot. So,
Right.
but I
Fair
think it,
enough.
I think on Vita and just handheld in general, it would kill. There's also an iOS version too,
Nice.
so you can get the full game on iOS. It's not like watered down or anything. It's pretty
Oh,
sweet.
wow. Straight actual game on.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't know how control-wise, I think it would be a little bit strange
Because it's
because
touch
it's a,
screen.
yeah, because it's touchscreen. But I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
So that's Adventures of Pip. And so I'm just gonna, there's not that many much more stuff that I have to talk about. So this episode may end up going a little bit longer than normal, but because we're already back to like the 40-ish minute mark.
Right.
So next up was 20XX, which is the Mega Man game. So not Mighty No. 9, which is
Okay,
Keiji
I was gonna say,
Inafune's.
like, wait a minute, like,
So,
what?
okay, so there's Mighty No. 9 and there's 20XX. Mighty No. 9 was delayed, and 20XX is actually coming out when Mighty No. 9 was supposed to come out. And so,
Is this still Inafune's team or?
no. This is Firehose.
Okay.
So I'm getting a. So, okay, Battery Stable Games is making it, but Firehose is working with them on this. And I'm getting. Who the fuck? Okay, no, I hate when people call me. So I'm gonna just don't call my phone, man. Sorry, I never get phone calls, so when I get a phone call, it's really weird. Anyways, Yeah, so Batter Staple is doing 20XX, and it's pretty much a co-op Mega Man X meets Mega Man Classic. So
sold.
So you've got, you know, your your character is basically like Mega Man X, but you also have like a kind of secondary cool weapon aside from like your ever whatever your other weapon is, and it's co-op, so you can play with a friend and like so tag awesome. Team the levels. But like as far as like difficulty and platforming and enemies, it's very Mega Man Classic. But like, but awesome. You yourself are very Mega. Your character is very Mega Man X in like a Mega Man Classic universe, with a 21st century kind of look. So
nice. Is it a more modern looking game? Is it 8-bit?
It's more modern. 16-bit? Yeah, it's more. It's okay. More modern. I would say it's like modern 8-bit style.
Nice. So, like a more clean looking.
Yeah. It's very cool. Actually, you know what? They gave me an extra code, so I can give it to you because I have it already. Because it's awesome. And because then we can co-op because it's on Steam. So we can co-op on Steam. But yeah, I mean, so if you know, and that was one of the cool things when we were talking about the game. Like, Keiji Inafune wants to play 20XX, right? Because he and it's one of those things where, like, you would think it would be weird, right? It's like competition. Mm-hmm. No, Keiji Inafune probably just fucking loves Mega Man because he made it, right? He made it back in the day. So, like, somebody else is going to make a game that's like his game. Like, of course he's going to be psyched about it.
Yeah, he's psyched about it.
So that was kind of cool that when we were talking about that, like, you know, you would think that, like, because even like people I was talking to about this were like, oh, wouldn't there be some like competition? And it's like, no, it's like a man. And it was one of the things, like, every Mega Man person I've ever talked to has never been like, I'm not gonna play this one. Every Mega Man person I've talked to has been like, I'm gonna play both because they're both probably awesome. Because if you truly love the Mega Man games, you love the Mega Man franchise, it's not gonna matter. You may say I'm definitely Mega Man Classic over Mega Man X, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can see there's being some different, but like, without Mega Man Classic, there is no Mega Man X, right?
True.
And without Mega Man X, there's no current Mega Man, right? Because Mega Man X kind of kept the series alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think both 20XX and Mighty No. 9 will do fantastic. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
I can't wait.
So it's super cool. It's got daily challenges.
Nice.
You know, there's bonuses for like finishing bosses or like finishing levels like under a certain time, like, or without using, you know, I don't think you could ever beat a level without taking any damage, but I mean, some people probably can.
Some people can, yeah.
Some people are too hype. But yeah, so 20XX is awesome. Definitely check it out. If you like Mega Man, check it out.
Hell yeah. I think I'll check that out.
And then one of the other games I played was Y2K. It's called Y2K, the number 2. The Roman numeral 2, but I originally thought it was called like Yik because I didn't realize that they weren't that wasn't like Roman numerals. It was two I's, you know, being like meant to be 2K. So instead of just the anyways. that one's cool because it's like it's an RPG, right? So think like Persona, mm-hmm. Earthbound, and ooh, like Tales, right? That type of RPG, but you're playing kids who are about to enter like Y2K, and so it's, you know, instead of being like I'm trying to think. I'm not, and like, I don't mean this in a bad way, but think like hipster kids fighting people in like pre-2000 weirdness. I don't, it's so hard to explain. I don't know how to explain it, but like one of the kids, he's got like a record and he can throw the record at you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's like a super old school type feel to it.
Well, but it's kind of like a flat cel shaded kind of look, But so this is what's this here. I'll read this from their website. Y2K is a colorful 3D JRPG set in the 1990s about eight strangers, a mysterious woman who vanishes in an elevator, and weaponized panda plushies. I assume that's supposed to be plushies, but okay. I'm trying to think of like how much I want to read. I mean, this is all on their website, y2krpg.com, but it's yiikrpg.com. Anyways, so it's a journey across an expansive, flat, shaded wonderland rife with intricate puzzles, fast-paced, turn-based, eight party member battles, cat-tossing, panda-dropping, ladder-throwing action. Batteries not included. It's going to be PC, Linux, Mac, PS Vita, PS4, and Wii U.
Nice.
But it's influenced by a bunch of those different types of games. It's influenced by Earthbound. It's influenced by this other game that he mentioned that I had never heard of as an RPG. Like, I knew the game, but I've never played it.
Right.
And so...
what was the game?
I can't remember. Okay. I can't remember what the name of it was. But I would... If I can remember, I would totally tell you. I'm trying to look and see if they mention it at all on their website. Maybe not. But.
Still sounds cool, though.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally cool. I was watching people play. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
And so, that was Y2K. Next up is Gigantic. Now, it's a MOBA, and it's awesome, and that's pretty much all I can say. For right now, that's pretty much all I can say. I had never heard of it, and it turns out there's a But I think it's not so much that I'd never heard of it. I'm not in the MOBA community, right? I don't play those games. I don't play your Heroes of the Storm. I don't play your League of Legends. I don't play your Dota, your whatevers. Yeah. I don't play all that whatever, your damn kids and your music. So I did not realize how big this game was. Turns out huge. Tons of people who want to play it. Tons. Mm-hmm. If you follow the podcast because of PAX Prime, it's probably because I had managed to get a bunch of codes to give away, and we gained a ton of followers.
Yep.
So, and like I said, if we luck out and end up with more codes, we will do more giveaways. But otherwise, that's it. And then, so like I had mentioned that other RPG, Potions, another RPG that looks very cool. It's based on like your character can concoct these potions and. Which kind of goes through the universe. There's battles. There's familiars, things like that. Still in progress. Looks really good. Pretty cool stuff. But, yeah, so, I mean, that ultimately was... That's, like, basically almost all the games I saw at PAX.
Nice. A lot of sweet-sounding games.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to say, like, top five games, Riptide, GP, Renegade, because of Hydro Thunder, definitely there. Viking Squad, because I love that game. Adventures of Pip technically is an honorable mention because the game's out, so
right.
That doesn't take a spot. Like, these are, I'm listing games that are not out yet. So, Homefront, The Revolution, pretty psyched for that. That looked really good. Had a lot of fun. Fortified was really good, too. Looking forward to that one. And if I was going to pick a fifth game, it's one of the games that I can't mention.
dang it.
So, you know. It was just cool. There was a lot of stuff. you know, I got to do a lot of, you know, I got to play a lot of games, got to play a lot of stuff.
Nice.
So if I, so, and so this is like the short, short and sweet of it. If I, if after I yawn, excuse me, if I go to PAX again solo, I need to plan more nighttime events out in advance.
Right.
Because generally, everybody kind of already has, like, a thing that they're going to do. And so either I need to decide what I'm just going to go do, or I need to just say, can I tag along with you? You know, can we, can I go do this thing? Because basically what had happened was is there were so many things that I could have done that I just did none of them because I kept saying, well, what are you going to? Well, what are you going to? Because ultimately I want to hang out with people. I want to go visit. Right. Like, I want to go hang out with friends. And the other thing I need to do is not schedule so many appointments each day because, like, by the time I was done with all my appointments, I did not want to go out at all. I was like, nope. I was like, Saturday was technically the best and worst day because it was the best day because I saw a million games. But I was so exhausted by the end of the day. I was like, I just don't really want to do anything. I want to go. I just want to go and, like, rest my feet because my feet hurt.
Yeah.
Because I've been standing and walking all day.
Right. Last thing you want to do is continue to go walking around.
Yeah, or, like, stand at a club or something or stand at, like, a party or a concert or whatever. So that was... That was that. But I did, you know, I did get to go out to eat a couple times with some people. Obviously, Heather and I hung out a lot during the PAX, during the expo hall and stuff.
Nice.
And went and got to see a bunch of stuff. Went to a couple panels. I obviously, you know, I had that panel Monday morning, the 5-year plan, talking about getting into the industry and stuff. And it went really well. It went really well. There was like 50, 60 people there. Which I was kind of blown away by. I wasn't expecting that. Especially to where Monday is kind of like the last... It's the last day of the show. A lot of people usually leave Sunday because, you know, they have work Monday or, like, travel time and things like that. And it was you know, it was still pretty good. I think for what it's worth, that was the busiest, like, Sunday-Monday I had ever seen at PAX in general. Because generally the last, like, day always tends to just kind of... not be very busy. I don't know. Everybody's probably just gone home.
Yeah, probably.
So, and also, and actually, it was more so too because, like, today, you know, tomorrow is Labor Day, whereas normally Labor Day would have been the first Monday. Mm-hmm. So, then most people would have had that Monday off to kind of do whatever.
True.
So, and you know what? It was fun. You know, it's one of those things where there's not enough hours in the day. You know, it's only 4 days.
Right.
There's not enough time to see every game. There's not enough time to see every person. There's not enough time to high five you know, you can't go out to dinner 17 times to make sure you go out to dinner with 17 people.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's just a matter of, I just need to, you know, I need to not, schedule a million things so that I'm dead at the end of the day. And if I'm gonna do any sort of parties and things like that, I just need to make sure that I know well in advance of what I'm doing, rather than just saying, oh, there's a party this time, yeah, sure, I'll probably go, and then just and then when you get to, like, the end of the day being like, my fucking feet hurt, I'm tired, there's like seven things I could go to, but I'm just gonna call room service and sleep.
Yeah.
You know,
right?
Or start writing some posts to post up later. So, you know, and obviously it's different when you're in, like, you know, when I'm in Boston versus Seattle, because, like, I know Boston a little bit differently because I, you know, went to school there and live outside the city and things like that. You know, Seattle is a little bit less familiar. Then I keep yawning, but...
Oh, this Sunday.
I know. So, as far as shoutouts go this week, or this particular part two of the PAX recap, I'm going to shout out Maverick Gamers because that's Heather's organization and we went and checked out a lot of games. So I just want to make sure I get it right, because I think it's Maverick Gamers X. Yeah. So it's at Maverick Gamers X, the letter X. So give her a follow. Check out their check out her stuff. She's got a great website. They get a lot of reviews of products and games and things like that. She's got an all-girls gaming clan, so if you're a girl and you're a gamer and you want to do clan stuff, they have a clan as well. And then give a shout-out to my buddy Brian, because he makes homemade beef jerky, and it is delicious. His Twitter, yeah, it's like one of the things I look forward to every year now. His Twitter is, because I'm going to screw this up, is The Mind of Coli. So The Mind of Coli, C-O-L-I. On Twitter, went out, hung out with him, hung out with a couple of his friends too, Tom Ross, good guy. He did a lot. They're all Little Big Planet community. That's like how I found them, was through Josh and Esteban and like the Little Big Planet community.
Oh, nice.
But like, obviously they play other games too. So,
right.
So that was really cool. Hung out with them, chatted about them. They're trying to figure out a way to do PAX East this year, so hopefully PAX East this year. PAX East for next year.
Yeah, that's the same.
Which is funny, because like, I have friends who are already starting to plan stuff for it. Like, they're already starting to plan like hotels and where they're going to go and where they want to go out to eat and what they want to see and like, you know, the hotels and the tickets and stuff, because they're like, the tickets sell out so fast. And I'm like, yes, they do. They sell out super fast. So that's next on the list of like things. And like, I have a friend who wants to do a panel. So I was like, nice. All right, man, I'm happy to do another panel. Like it was tons of fun. So we'll see. As always, you can follow us at the DGcast on Twitter. You can follow Mike at mtong1.
Correct.
And then you can follow me at So After I Said, all one word. If you have the opportunity to go to PAX or any gaming convention, anime convention, I say go.
Go, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Meet a lot of cool people.
Definitely.
And you have a good time. So
cool.
So you know, nice. It is expensive. It's not cheap.
It can be priced.
Not beat around the bush, you know. But you know, if you cram into a hotel,
yeah,
or you get your tickets in advance, you know, you
definitely get everything in advance.
You know, plane tickets probably would be the easiest thing to get in advance. To say in terms of saving money, obviously hotels are the same way too. But in some cases, those dates are usually blocked out, and like you might have to get certain hotels in the time frame they give you. Either way, you know, go to conventions, be cool, have fun, say hi to people, play games. And that's, you know, part two of my PAX recap. I am slowly but surely putting up posts about pretty much all the games that I saw. You know, as I get to them, it pretty much at this point has been kind of like one a day. Because I still have a regular job and things like that. I am going to try and get back into streaming a little bit more. I know I haven't streamed in a while. I just always feel like I'm so boring.
That's why I don't do it. I'm just like, yeah, I want to stream, but I suck.
Yeah, and so it's like one of those things like, but whatever. I'm going to try and get myself back into it. Like, I think I'm going to... this will be over by the time that it happens. I think I'm going to, because if we're going to play Destiny after this to kind of level stuff up, I'll probably stream that. So if you knew what we were doing just now and you telepathically knew, you could watch the stream, but you probably won't, because I'm probably not going to edit this in between that. So anyways, that was part two of the PAX Prime 2015 recap. If I met you there, you know, and you follow us, thank you for following us. Thank you for coming to the panel if you came to the panel. Thanks for letting me check out your games. If you are one of the devs that let me check out your game. Oh my God. And I need to give a big shout out to the guys at Secret Ponchos at Switchblade Monkeys. I totally missed that. Because the most wanted edition for Secret Ponchos is coming out soon. So you get new characters, you get some new stuff going on. Ooh, I just clicked the link on my computer. I didn't mean to do that. And so that is really cool. It plays really nicely. They're doing some updates to the gameplay mechanics, things like that. So if you're a fan of Secret Ponchos, maybe you've kind of stepped away from a little bit, it's time to step back. Put the saddle up your bandolier, get your six shooters polished, and get going.
And make a return.
Yep. So, See, this is the thing, right? So many games, and like Secret Ponchos is an awesome game, and like it's even that I can't even remember. So, the guys at Switchblade Monkeys, definitely give them, you know, check that game out. It's on PS4. It's on Steam. But in any case, I'm not going to keep delaying the inevitable. That has been it for part two of episode 36 of the Disconnected Gamers podcast. We will catch you
on the flip.